talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you
down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Go right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot happened over the weekend. A guy named Matt Gaetz, remember him? Shot his mouth off. He's a very, very bad congressman from Florida. Been under investigation for a long time. His fellow traveler and running dog has been sentenced to a lot of years in jail. Matt Gaetz doesn't appear that he's going to be prosecuted. We don't know. But he's truly bad news. And I wonder about the constituencies that elect people like Matt Gaetz. I wonder about the constituencies that elect people like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lorena Boebert. I mean, who in God's name would vote for these people? Even if they're Republican, wouldn't you vote for somebody else? They've all been opposed in the primaries on occasion, and they've all been opposed in general elections. But anyway, Matt Gaetz injected a bit of reality into the succession of the Republicans to the speakership of the House of Representatives. He called Kevin McCarthy Cavin Kevin. That's supposedly a funny play on Kevin. So he's Cavin McCarthy, not Kevin McCarthy, as in he caves in to I don't know whom. Caves in what, to Democrats? I mean, I haven't seen much of that. He voted not to certify Joe Biden and to overturn the election, along with 140 other members of the Republican caucus. But the right wing doesn't like him, and frankly, because he's weird and dull. I mean, he is very weird, and he's dull. You look at him, there's a certain dullness to him, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Anyway, Matt Gaetz and the right wing, which is sort of like the squad on the right. You know, there's a squad on the left, which is Ilhan Omar and so on. Well, squad on the right is Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, Biggs, Andy Biggs, some of these other people, Bad News, Gymnasium Jim, GYM Jordan. And they're painting a very unflattering picture of Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin McCarthy keeps groveling to them. What's really sad is, here we're supposedly voting for a leader. When I say we, I mean it's the Republican caucus, but it's the United States. Republican leader on January 3rd to be the speaker, which is, frankly, second in line for the presidency. After the if the president, something happened to the president, had to resign or, God forbid, passed away, the first person in line is the vice president. But if something happened there, the next one's the Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House. And the question is, are we going to put up with a guy like Kevin McCarthy, that close to being president of the United States and picking all the committee chairmen and deciding what bills get voted on? I don't think so. Here is the scorecard. There are three, at least, members of the House of Representatives who claim they'll never vote for him under any circumstances. Never vote for him. One of them is Matt Gaetz. Another guy is this Andy Biggs of Arizona. Now, there may be a third. I said three. There are actually seven others who are claiming that they won't. And then when they are really pushed, they'll say, well, without significant concessions. Well, what are they? One of them is the Scott Perry from Pennsylvania. Bad news. Chip Roy from Texas. Very bad news. And there's a bunch of others. One of the things the Republicans have to keep in mind is that they only have a four-seat majority. The 222 Republicans elected takes 218 to elect a speaker, to have the majority. There are 435 members of the House of Representatives, and if you cut it in half, it's 218 to 217. No Democrat will vote for any of these Republicans. That means they need 218 votes. They can lose four people, they can't lose five. If they lose five, they're toast. Okay, well, if they're going to lose, for sure, Matt Gaetz and Andy Biggs, they have sworn they will never vote for Kevin McCarthy. And several of these others, I personally think that Scott Perry could be counted as a third. He's a bad news guy. He's the guy that engineered the Green Bay sweep. He's the guy that engineered the fake electors. He's a very bad guy, and he's from Pennsylvania. It's unbelievable to me. I have a cousin in Pennsylvania. I have friends in Pennsylvania. How is this possible? But in any event, apparently it is possible. But then you have the Chip Roy, and you have the Paul Gosars and Lauren Boberts and the rest of them. All we need is chip away five of them. Chip away five of them. Now, we have two in the bag, at least two in the bag, maybe three. We only have to chip away two more. What these people are doing is they are trying to screw Kevin McCarthy in a way that no speaker has been screwed in the history of the United States. For one thing, they are agitating for the right to what's called a motion to vacate the chair. All right, that's inside baseball. Everybody yawns. Stop yawning. This is very important. Once somebody becomes speaker, unlike in Britain where they have votes of no confidence, you know, they'll go, oh, but I have no confidence. I'm amazed they have confidence in anybody over there, to be honest with you. All these people are crazy. They're flat out nuts. But in this place, you can't just do a vote of no confidence. So the guy's locked in there, or the woman, and they can do whatever they want. They can kill bills, let bills go forward. They can put this one in his chair and that one in his chair and all that. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan has sucked up to McCarthy so bad that McCarthy has said he'll make him head of the Judiciary Committee, would launch investigations. I mean, it's going to be a mess. In any event, these revolutionaries on the right wing of the Republican Party want the right to have a motion to vacate the chair. That means any time, Gates, Biggs, any of these clowns can raise his hand and say, I move to vacate the chair. I move to vacate the speaker. Out you go. And it requires a vote. There's no shilly-shallying around. There's no tricks. And quite frankly, every Democrat, you maybe remember something, every member of Congress gets to vote. So 215, let's see. They have 222. So we have 213. 213 Democrats will say, yay, get rid of him. If five Republicans say yay, out he goes. So he has to sit there basically on the hot seat the whole time, and he's got to kowtow to the right wing. He has said he won't do that. Well, they've said if you don't do that, you ain't getting the votes. So that's one thing. That's one thing. The other thing is that he has to agree that nobody can vote sort of remotely, even if they have COVID. All right, these are stupid things. He'll crumble like a cheap suit over that one. But there are a number of other things. They have to have a say in who gets to head the committees. They are going to demand, for instance, that Marjorie Taylor Greene get a major committee. And by the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene has jumped ship. She's now for McCarthy because he has privately made promises to her. But they're going to demand that Matt Gaetz have a committee, Lauren Boebert have a committee, Paul Gosar have a committee, that Andy Biggs have a committee. Paul Gosar is the guy who put out a video in which he kills Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He kills her. Why was he not prosecuted? Where's Merrick Garland on that one? If I put out a video saying that I'm going to kill somebody in Congress, they'd be at my door. And they should, an hour later. Why was nobody at his door? So he's going to want a committee. All these clowns want a committee. Frankly, one of the most important statements that's been made about this, and, you know, a lot of people go, oh, come on, Matt. Why are you so upset about this? I mean, all right, they got a few more votes than we did. They're going to get the speaker. He's a jerk. He's very dull. Okay. Well, no. No, I say this, and there are two other people that did, and I'll tell you who they are. The Speaker of the House is an historic figure. Kevin McCarthy was the leader of the 140 Republicans in the House caucus who voted not to certify Joe Biden. They committed treason. This was a well-connected, it's a well-run election. There was not fraud, and yet they wouldn't recognize the results of it. You can't have him as the Speaker. In the history of our country, we never put in a speaker who said, I am going to unconstitutionally throw out the guy who's in there now, and I tried it last time. You can't have that. You can't have that. And I'm not alone in saying that. I'm not alone in saying that. The two other fairly prominent conservatives who just came out and said that. William Kristol. William Kristol is one of these neocons. He went into the Republican Party with Reagan. But he can't stand Trump, and he does not like this attack on our Constitution. And there's another guy that I don't know as well named Jeff Tulis. He's a professor at the University of Texas, which has a very conservative faculty, but it's actually a fairly well-regarded university intellectually. And the two of them came out and said, you can't have Kevin McCarthy. He can't serve as the speaker after he tried to block Joe Biden's ascension to the presidency after he won an election. I think that's a profound question. The funny thing is, you have a bunch of rats on the right. You know, you have Gates, really a rat in human form, Biggs of Arizona, some of these others, Perry, Chip Roy, some of these people. They attack our democracy. They would strangle our democracy if we let them get close. They tried. So they're attacking him from the right, saying we don't want our democracy. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, and one way to do it is put in a speaker who opposed the last election. But elsewhere in the Republican Party, and there are people like Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, this fellow Jeff Tulis, and Bill Kristol, who say, no, and we're not attacking you from the left. We're attacking you from the point of view of democracy. You cannot have a speaker. It's not right. It's unclean. It's an attack on our democracy and insult to our country to put in a speaker who tried to block the last election. So this guy is not getting support on both sides. Now, are there Republican congressmen who will make this happen? There were four that won in New York who shouldn't have. We did a lousy job in New York. And there are four in California who should not have, Republicans. And these are winnable seats. There are eight of them in there. I think what we should do is our leaders in those two states go to them and say, look, Jack, you vote for Kevin McCarthy, we will hang that around your neck like an albatross for the next 2 years and throw you out. Yes, we're going to oppose you anyway. Knock it off. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. I'll get you right after the break.
Cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down. Tell them that God's going to cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now go right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Just when you think it's safe to go to sleep at night and have a good night's sleep, you get this kind of crap going on. I can't believe it, Matt. Here are these people, these criminals, you know, that orchestrate, and they're all involved in it. They were all spreading a big lie, and here they are. Conspiring right in front of everybody, and they should all have been locked up, or they should have been kicked out of those offices. We're supposed to have the brightest, most capable, honorable people serving in our government, so people need to wake up, and those ones from Wisconsin are going to join right in with a whole bunch of you-know-what holes. I can't believe them. Thanks, Matt, for sharing this information. It's not fun, but boy, oh boy, this is sick. And I hope that those good Republicans, because I know a lot of them left the party, and I know there were a lot of split tickets in our area that didn't vote for Trump because they couldn't stand him, and they don't like this violence, but unfortunately they didn't have the information, so they voted for that Ron Johnson that's continuing his BS stuff going on. Oh, Matt, I don't know. It's a frustrating day to hear this one, but hopefully good Republicans better wake up and start kicking those people out because they're destroying our country from the inside out. Thank you, Matt, and keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jane. Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And let me feed you another rumor. This has been floated by one of the people on the right of the Republican Party in the House. Some of them realize that it's going to be very hard to stop McCarthy, because if they stop him, they don't have enough votes to elect anybody else, and they don't want a Democrat. So the rumor that they're spreading, and who knows if it's going to be real, is there's a fellow named Upton, U-P-T-O-N. He was a Republican who was in the House, and he didn't run for re-election because he was one of the ones, the 10 of them, that voted to impeach Donald Trump. So people in general on the Democratic side and people in general who are honest Republicans like the guy. But he doesn't have a ton of enemies because he's no longer going to be staying in the House. Unknown to most people, believe it or not, the Speaker of the House doesn't have to be a member of the Congress. Congress can vote anyone to be the Speaker. They don't have to be a member of Congress. That's why some of the right-wing squad-type people in the Republican Party were pushing Donald Trump to be the Speaker, even though he's not in Congress, to keep his name alive and all that. Oh, he finally shut that down. But several of them have said, you know, we may vote for Upton. In other words, if we stop McCarthy on the first ballot, and the ballot is going to be January 3rd, that's when they get sworn in. If we stop him on one ballot, everybody's going to be going, oh, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. You know, we're going to end up with a Democrat. And no, they'll say, we put up Upton. Well, if these right-wing nuts go for Upton just because he's not in there and he doesn't think, they don't think he can hurt him that bad, and most moderate Republicans would love to see Upton, the guy would go in there. He's still a Republican. I don't want the guy. I don't think he's any good. But he did vote to impeach Trump over January 6th. And he did say, you know, whoever I voted for, I'll tell you something, Joe Biden won the election. I mean, that's kind of a simple thing. You'd think, for the love of Pete, that that is so elementary. So, Gene, stand by. There's a lot of skullduggery going on. I do not want Kevin McCarthy. I think he's weak. I think he's bad news, really bad news. Thanks for calling, Gene, as always. We're going back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. Nice call, Gene. Biggest step in the right direction will be the spring election Supreme Court Justice of the state. I'm a little concerned because the Milwaukee County vote was down roughly 20,000, I think it was. But this is a big vote. We may even get better congressional districts out of this, but mostly in the state of Wisconsin. It's a step for us to get democracy back, at least in this state. So I can't stress that enough. The Supreme Court race in the spring, I know you've talked about it before, but it certainly would put Wisconsin on a correct footing for the future. All right. Right. Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, I'm really glad you raised that. I'll tell you why, because I do talk about it. But to everybody out there, this Supreme Court race is going to depend on who holds the balance on the Supreme Court 4-3. The person not running was one of the election deniers. So she's not running. That means there are three Republicans and three Democrats. Whoever wins will set the tone of our democracy. It's a 10-year term. Janet Protasiewicz, it's Protasiewicz. She's terrific. Judge Janet, one of the most experienced prosecutors and judges in the state, tough as nails, but very fair. And she is a fighter for our democracy. She's basically said, look, bring another lawsuit about the gerrymandering and see what happens this time. And she hit the decision that was going to get rid of drop boxes. She is a democracy fighter for our democracy. And if somebody brings in the ACLU or labor or somebody will bring a gerrymander case and say we want fair maps, this time with Janet Protasiewicz on the court, it'll be 4-3. Redo the maps. You can do it within the 10-year period. You can do it right away. Redo the maps. Get fair maps. If we had fair maps, instead of having 11 state Senate seats out of 33, we'd have 17 or 18. And we would have a split House, and you'd have a higher quality of candidate, quite frankly, running for the legislature. You'd have better people, and they would be much more nuanced in what they did. I cannot tell you how important it is. End of February is the primary, and in April is a general election, and the Republicans are terrible. It's Daniel Kelly and this Doro, Janet Doro from Waukesha, both election deniers. They will kill fair maps. They will attack our democracy. You have Janet Protasiewicz or you have them? and stand by. It's a very important election. Paul, thanks for calling in. We're going to another break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to a break. A lot more back after the break.
Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. Your girl, I'm not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Andy?
Matt, I'm trying to get into the reality of what we're in. It's almost hard to believe. But when it comes to this house that's going to be in charge, who is the guy, my senility is showing, who is the guy that was the House Speaker during Obama years, the guy that his family owned a tavern in Ohio, he wrote a book, the guy that was, kind of a red-faced guy, the House Speaker.
John Boehner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he turned it over to Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan had been his staffer, but it was John Boehner, Andy. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. Well, remember John Boehner, after Obama took in 2008, and Boehner was always, he was sort of a, he wasn't an ultra-conservative, but he couldn't get, in his caucuses, he couldn't get any agreement on anything. He couldn't get, so as I look to this 2023 House, aside from all these crazies that were trying to prevent Biden from being president, what's the picture going to look like? I mean, is the House going to be just a nothing but a shambles, or how can you envision that? If you know what
right.
I'm saying.
Right. You raise a very good point, and to give everybody the historical background of what Andy is raising is, John Boehner, he was a Republican from Ohio, and believe it or not, Paul Ryan, when Paul Ryan was in college, was an aide of his, and then he succeeded Boehner. And here's the deal with Boehner. I don't think he was that bad a speaker. Yeah, he was conservative and all that, but let me give you an example of one piece of legislation. When there is a devastating hurricane, tornado, earthquake, that kind of thing, usually the Congress allocates money. They did it in Kentucky during those terrible storms. They've done it for hurricanes down south and so on. The right wing, when Obama was in the presidency, hated Obama so much, and they hated the Democratic Party, that they would vote for storm relief in states that were red states. But remember Hurricane Sandy went into New Jersey and New York, devastated the hell out of everybody. So Boehner proposed a package for them, too. And it couldn't pass the House. The Republicans wouldn't vote for it. They said, the hell with New York and New Jersey, they vote Democratic. So what Boehner did, and was very smart, he would go to Pelosi and he'd say, all right, I can get X Republicans. Let's say I can get 195 Republicans, but I need another 23 or 25 votes. So give me 25 Democrats. Well, for storm relief, that was easy. But for some of this stuff, she'd go twist some arms. And he basically ruled by a consensus. Now, the Republicans hated that so much that they passed a rule that said that anything that goes to the floor has to be there has to be a majority of the Republican caucus for it. And so Boehner finally said, "The hell with you people," and he stepped down. Paul Ryan took over. Now, Paul Ryan was the same way. And I'll tell you something. Paul Ryan and I differ on a lot of it, most issues. He's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. However, Paul Ryan did come out and say that Joe Biden won the election fair and square. And he stands up to the party. And so he was very much like Boehner. And the reason he was a staffer for Boehner is he went to college at Miami of Ohio. So he was, this Wisconsin guy. He was spending time in Ohio. So, to talk about, by Andy's example, And he's giving all that as an example of how you can make a Congress work, even if the Republicans are in charge. But here time you this time, you have crazy people in charge. You know, if you want to talk about Matt Gaetz, he's a crazy man. Andy Biggs is a crazy man. So is Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Gymnasium Jim J.Y.M. Jordan, Paul Gosar. This is not Boehner and Ryan. These are crazy men. Now, how do you make it work with a crazy man? I think Hakeem Jeffries is going to have to sit down. He's our new Democratic leader, and he has 200 and let's see. Well, the other guys have 222. He has 213 votes. A lot of votes. A lot of votes. And all he needs is five more to pass anything. He's going to have to go to the new speaker, and he's going to have to go to the other Republicans and say, look, guys, we're willing to work with you, but if you screw around, you're not getting a single Democratic vote. And then here is the key. Now, listen to this. There are four Democrats who had seats or thought they wanted seats in New York who lost to Republicans. It was shameful. The Democratic Party in New York is split, and Republicans plucked off four seats. Similarly, there are four seats in California were shameful. They should have been Democratic seats. The California Party split, and they went Republican. So there are eight Republican votes who are quaking in their boots. They want to be reelected. They like the life. They like the life and the perks. They like to have everybody kiss their rear end and tell them they're a big deal. They are not lightly going to throw that away. So I think Hakeem Jeffries, maybe he has a lunch for all eight Republicans. You know, you listen to me and you listen to me good. You know we'll put up a candidate against you. But if you screw around on things, how about easy things like storm aid to blue states? But how about a lot of other tougher things? For instance, the debt ceiling. There are Republicans who have said they won't vote to raise the debt ceiling unless Biden fires a couple of cabinet members, unless he changes course on Ukraine or in somewhere else. You can't do that. But if you don't raise the debt ceiling, then the government shuts down. They are threatening a shutdown. If you think that's a hollow threat, Ted Cruz shut it down once. Newt Gingrich shut it down once. One time it was shut for 45 days. The Coast Guard didn't get paid. The FBI didn't get paid. A lot of federal workers didn't get paid. And you know something? Ron Johnson went along with it until Republicans came to him in the Green Bay area and screamed at him. Republicans, they said, we want to be paid. We want our sons and daughters to be paid. You had goddamn well better do something about it. And then he went to the House, and he said, we can't put up with this anymore. And the Senate leadership, and then they came around. But they will do it. And I think these eight people from the four from New York, the four from California have to have a stern talking to, have to be taken to the woodshed. And they've got to quietly tell McCarthy or Upton, whoever the new Republican speaker is, you better come correct with some respect. You better raise the debt ceiling and quit screwing around. If you don't raise the debt ceiling, we shut down and we will turn on you publicly. This fighting has to go on. You cannot let Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Florida, Matt Gaetz, Texas, Andy Biggs, rule New York and California. We're not putting up with that. We're not putting up with that. So, Andy, you hit the nail on the head. We're not going to get a speaker probably like John Boehner or Paul Ryan. So they're not going to do what has to be done. But there has to be some hardball tactics. And Hakeem Jeffries is 213 votes. And by the way, while we're at it, let's really get at it. Let's look at the Senate. You think the Senate is great? We have 51 votes. Not so fast. There's a guy in Montana, Democrat, John Tester, really good guy. I had hoped that he'd end up on the ticket somehow. A very good guy. Owns a ranch. He's a rancher. He looks more Montana than Montana. He has a crew cut. And, you know, he looks like he hasn't missed many meals. You know, he's eating a lot of beef. Good man. Moderate guy. And he is trying to debate whether he even runs for re-election in 2024. Because let me tell you a sad secret. Trump in 2020 beat Biden by 16 points in Montana. And they Montana had a very popular Democratic governor named Bullock. Yeah, that's his name. I mean, considering they're a beef state, Bullock, that was his name. He lost by 16 votes. 16 points, I should say, just like Trump. Bullock. I'm looking at my data. 16 points was Trump over Biden. 10 points, Bullock over the idiot that's in there now, the Republican. So, Tester's thinking, well, wait a minute. How do I outstrip the ticket again by 10 or 16 points? It's a lot. He may not run for re-election. If he doesn't, we could lose that seat. We lose that seat, we're down to 50 seats. There are 34 seats up in 2024. Remember, there are 100 senators. Every 2 years, a third of them are up. 33, 33, 34. This year, it's the 34. 23 of them are held by Democrats. And some of them are very tough seats. Some of them are Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, who's now running as an independent. Some of them are Manchin, West Virginia, Tester in Montana. It will be very difficult for us even to hold on to our seats, much less flip a Republican seat. Is there a seat going to be vacant on the Republican side? Yes. There's a guy named Braun, B-R-A-U-N, in Indiana, who just announced he's leaving the Senate to run for governor. That'll be open. But Indiana's a red state. Indiana's a red state. Peter Buttigieg ran for a Senate in Indiana. You know, he was the mayor of South Bend. And he lost 2-1. He lost 2-1. A guy named Doherty won as a Democrat senator from Indiana earlier in this decade. But the guy ran against him was so weird, really weird, a Republican weirdo, who was talking about things like abortion and rape, and it has to be legitimate rape, and you have to take a good look at her and all. People got so disgusted by the guy, the Democrat won by a little bit. Well, the Republicans aren't stupid enough to put a guy like that up again. So, yeah, we could win Indiana, but, you know. So this is very important what happens. If we lose the Senate in 2024, Moscow Mitch, assuming he's reelected leader of the Republicans, he'll shut Biden down. He'll shut Biden's successor down, assuming that Biden is Biden's successor. I think he will be. I think he'll beat Trump in 2024. And then if you had a guy like McCarthy in the House, you would have a legislature that would deliberately injure the country, deliberately attack our democracy for political advantage. These are very bad people. So I'm glad Andy called in with that insight about John Boehner and Paul Ryan, but we don't have people like that up there anymore in the Republican Party. And I've just raised to you what's going to happen in the Senate. And it ain't good. None of it's good. And by the way, you got to get out to vote. How many times have I said that? Get out to vote for the Supreme Court. You want to hear a horror story? This is a great horror story. There was a state legislative race. That's like their assembly in New Hampshire. Now, you're not going to believe this. New Hampshire is a really small state. We have 99 assemblymen in this state. You know how many they have in New Hampshire? 400. Their assembly is 400 people. Everybody in the assembly represents 3,000 people. It's unbelievable. Well, in this state, I think Superior as a county has like 57 or something county supervisors. Everybody just represents a very few people. And that's up to the county here, and it's up to the states there. They had one race for state assembly out there just now. The final vote, 970 to 970. They tied, Democrat, Republican. And you know what they did? They didn't do a coin flip like they did, for instance, in Wauwatosa, where they tied in a race recently, about a year ago. No, they're going to do another election, special election. So these people in New Hampshire are going to trudge through the snow for the next 6 weeks trying to get one guy to flip. I mean, they can't tell who's going to run, who's not going to run. That's how important it is. That's how important it is for you to go out and vote in the primary. And the primary for Supreme Court is nonpartisan. There'll be four people on the ballot. Please vote for Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet. Restore our democracy. Please do that. And in the general in April, go out and vote for Judge Janet. Good, tough judge, good, tough prosecutor. Heart in the right place. Stand up for our democracy. And stand by for 2024. Not just Joe Biden running again. If Tesla doesn't run and this Braun thing doesn't pan out, we have a lot of work to do. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I walk the line because you're mine. I walk the line because...
Back to Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk about Ukraine. It's urgent. There's a genocide going on in Ukraine. And the Ukrainians have achieved marvelous success on one level on the battlefield. But overall, what Russia is doing is just using long-distance bombs to destroy everything. Destroy every building, every power plant, every hospital, every water supply system. Ukrainian successes, you saw about it over the weekend, they wiped out a Wagner Group headquarters. Let me tell you something about the Wagner Group. Wagner Group is owned by a guy named Yevgeny Prigozhin. He's a sadist and a genocidal maniac. What it is it's a mercenary army that he hires out. He started out by African dictators, and they would just tell him to kill their opponents. And they go in a village and kill everybody. And rape everybody. They are animals. They are not the Wagner Group. They are the SS. Think of them as the SS. Think of Putin as Hitler. And think of Yevgeny Prigozhin as Goering or Himmler. That is the exact analogy. Now, something has got to be done to stop these Russians, short of a nuclear war, from launching cruise missiles into maternity hospitals, churches, into electric grids, sewer systems, and water supplies. They're doing it to genocide the people there. They're living in damp basements. Now, there are some things, and I'm going to suggest two things. One of them will surprise you. One of them is something I have been talking about a long time, long-range HIMARS. These HIMAR missiles are what killed this SS unit, this Wagner SS unit, over the weekend. But we have sent them 50-mile HIMARS. They only go 50 miles. There are 180-mile HIMARS. We must send them 180-mile HIMARS. Tell them not to go after civilian populations in Russia, but they actually absolutely have to, and they have been going after air bases in Russia where these genocidal plane strikes are coming from. Give them 180-mile HIMARS. Number two. Declare Russia a terror state. Declare it a terror state. There's bipartisan support for it in the Congress. Europe, the EU, is declaring it a terror state. If we declare it a terror state, we strangle it economically like North Korea and Iran. Right now, our sanctions leak like a sieve. China and India are both cheating. Germany is cheating, and a lot of other people are cheating. I think we stop that. Declare them a terror state. Number three. Kick everybody who's a Russian citizen out of this country right now. Give them 10 days. Get out of here. We don't want Nazis in this country. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here. And they should kick them out of Europe as well. Number four, much better missile defense systems. We have given them some missile defense systems, and they shoot down half, three quarters of the missiles, but the rest of them get through. But the other thing, before we go to the lines, I see you on the lines. I would do this. This is very controversial. And if you want to see the constitutional basis for it, you can buy my new novel, Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D. It's available right now. It's a plot is about ISIS in this case, but you might as well say Russia, launching a strike against the U.S. Capitol during the State of the Union address and killing the president. And a CIA agent named Audrey Knapp stands up to him, and she has a math genius buddy who breaks their code. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but you're going to like the ending. But more importantly, why it's important. You like history? Well, let me tell you something. This analyzes how you constitutionally permit a member of the CIA to use deadly force without prior congressional approval. Right now, they can't do it. They can't even operate in the United States. This guy, Victor Bout, B-O-U-T, this arms dealer who just got released for Brittany Griner, he just went over there and said, I'm going to support Putin. He's got to be killed. Putin's got to be killed. The head of the SS Wagner Group has to be killed, Yevgeny Prigozhin. How do you do that? Well, you could give the coordinates of their locations, the Ukrainians at all times. I would do that. But I would do what I do in Milwaukee Jihad. Authorize constitutionally, it's kind of thin, but it works, a few members of the CIA to do what has to be done. These people are animals. They're Nazis. They're committing genocide. They're inhuman. They've got to be taken out. We're going to the lines. Gary Madison, my friend. Thanks for going Western Money today, Gary.
Well, everything you just said, I agree. Putin has declared war on the world. People
yes.
may not realize that. He has declared on the world. Food supply, there's only so much land. He's no good. And what can we do with him? And I wish we could. He would just die, but he won't go away. So, no, you hit it right, Matt. I'm going to leave you alone. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gary. Yeah, and the premise of the novel, and I enjoyed writing it because I loved history, you know that, and you love history, and I love having you call with your own historical observations. But how do you do something like this in our democracy right now? Now we have to sort of, bring them in as war criminals, prove it, prove that it's really genocide, have them in a, and you can't get them to come to trial anyway. It's all a joke. It doesn't work. The reason we had Nazi war trials back in 1945 and 1946 was because we controlled everything. We had shut everything down. We'd beaten the Nazis. Right now, they have nuclear weapons. But you cannot have genocidal sadists taking out an entire European population or any population just because they applied for NATO membership. These are Slavic Europeans. They are no different from Croatia. They're no different from Serbia, Bulgaria, Slovenia, Slovakia, the Czech Republic. No different whatsoever. They're all fine people. Poland. And they're being genocided, and we're standing by and watching it and talking about, can we prove genocide? I'm telling you it's genocide. It's sadism, and they've got to be taken out. And the premise of my novel, Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, so you can conversationally keep up with anybody who says, oh, that's not right. They shouldn't do that. Well, yeah, let me tell you, it's right. In it, there is a special committee of Congress that's fed up the way I am, and they convene and they authorize this procedure. And yes, it's thin. You can do it during wartime. There's no formal declaration of war. And the premise is there is a constructive declaration of war. So get Milwaukee Jihad. Go on Amazon right now and do it. Matt Flynn, and I think you'll see what I'm getting at. But I just can't stand by and listen to this anymore, what's going on over there. They are genociding a nation of 45 million people, very good people, very, very good people. One thing we could also do is bring in more Ukrainian refugees. We're bringing in 50,000. We could bring in a lot more. They're coming here legally. So this is a great show. We got to come to the end. Matt Flynn, direct, we're back same time, same place tomorrow. Enjoy the show. Great callers. Talk to you tomorrow. Sign off for today.